views and opinions expressed on the following podcast are those of the persons appearing on the program and not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Center for ADHD Awareness Canada. Welcome to another edition of Club ADHD, the podcast. I'm your cordial and ADHD host, Russ LeBlanc, welcoming you to this edition. We've got a good edition coming up. I know I say that all the time because I am biased, but I can't help it. And Club ADHD, the podcast, is part of a three-prong approach. Count them. Three. Not one, two, but three. I have the prongs right in front of me. At least I think they're prongs. I don't exactly know what a prong looks like. I just have to fake it. We have Club ADHD, the podcast, Club ADHD, the Facebook group, and Club ADHD, the Twitter account for us. Us meaning we adults with ADHD. If you have ADHD, hey, you've come to the right place. If you don't have ADHD, well, stick around. You could learn something because I have to say this. ADHD is real. There are many people out there in society who don't think that, who don't want to think that, but it's true. Get over it. And we have something to offer. Boy, do we ever. And that's what this is all about, a place where we can be us, or we can be B. We can be. Yeah, that's it. We can be. Simply be without having to put on a mask that society usually has to have us wear in order to, you know, just to get along in life. The perception of normal, whatever that is. In any case, I hope you're having a good day. I hope you've had a good couple of weeks. As for me, well, it's been interesting to say the least. I want to tell you one thing right now. I'm looking outside here, and I've got to mention this. It is cold out there. Ooh. It's warm in here, but cold outside, and it's a part of a cold wave that's hitting North America, and apparently it's coming down from the Arctic, and it's a result of global warming. Yeah, that's the ticket. That's what they're saying, that it's, you know, just mixing things up. Mother Nature is confused. Maybe she has ADHD. I don't know, but they say this kind of thing will happen more often as the years go by. Well, we'll just have to deal with it and wear layers. Layers of what? I'm not exactly sure, but if you want to stay warm, it's been said, wear layers. Okay. Now that I'm trying to thaw here, I was outside about an hour earlier and I'm still kind of frigid. What's in this water? I got to add something else here besides whatever it's in it because it is wacky. I'm blaming the water. It's just me. But yeah, it's cold out there, warm inside here. And yeah, the past couple of weeks for me have been a little bit different. Well, one instance I'm thinking of specifically. That instance involves the school where my grandson goes. I take my grandson to school every morning and pick him up in the afternoon. And it's a good school. Good teachers there. He's doing well. I've heard nothing but good things about the school. My grandson's only five, so he hasn't been going all that long. It's in his second year. And it's amazing. The kid's starting to read. It's almost dangerous. He can't spell out anything anymore. He knows what's going on. In any case, I'm getting off track here. I'm involved with CADAC. Of course, CADAC brings you this Club ADHD. And CADAC is the Center for ADHD Awareness Canada. Great group of people. I'm happy to be involved with them. If you want information on ADHD and to find out more about their initiatives, and they've got their blog going on there, visit cadac.ca. That's cadac.ca. And I mentioned this before that they're putting together, or we're putting together, some animations that will help kids with ADHD and kids without ADHD understand the disorder. And what I need right now, what we need right now is I needed a kid's voice sooner than later, just one specific voice. And a kid of a certain age that fits the bill when it comes to the school where my grandson goes. So I thought I'll drop by and just visit the principal and explain what's going on. And I'm sure she'll help us, meaning she'll direct us to a teacher, and the teacher might be able to spot some of the couple of kids perhaps in his or her class who might fit the bill as far as being a voice. Doesn't have to have ADHD, but maybe someone who shows a bit of a dramatic flair who could do this type of thing. I work with kids. I work with adults who aren't professional voiceover artists, who do very well with direction. And I thought, well, this might be a good way to get some kids involved and have them have some fun and maybe, you know, give them a stipend. And it'll be good for everyone. I didn't think much of it as far as, you know, I didn't think I was going to be rejected. But I was talking to the unannounced, as I was. I just dropped off my grandson. I talked to the principal, explained who I was, the fact that a good friend of mine is on the staff of the school, and I'm associated with groups that are associated with the school, and gave my background, all that stuff. And yeah, I wasn't dressed to impress. Maybe I should have been, but you know, I just explained what's going on and where can she direct me. And her response was, oh, this is great. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, yeah. I don't want to get the school involved. In other words, no, don't want to get the school involved. Well, I said, well, the school won't be involved. Just, you know, direct me. No, I can't get the school involved. Don't feel right about it. And I should have asked, should have, would have, could have. What do you mean by getting the school involved? I didn't. I just sort of shook my head. And, you know, I just calmly said, well, it's just another instance where we people with ADHD, we, you know, looked upon in a negative fashion, and no is not, yeah, strange to us, not unique. And she, oh, no, I don't mean it by that. I just don't want to get the school involved. Again, I didn't ask what she meant by that. I just, you know, decided to leave, shook my head, and I was thinking, boy, here's someone who's running a school that I'm sure has a few ADHD kids in it, and doesn't want to get involved. I thought, well, maybe she doesn't really believe ADHD exists. Maybe she's one of those types of people. Maybe she is a person that we have to sway. Or why is she in this position? She doesn't get it. This is not fair. And, you know, I'm thinking all this stuff, as my ADHD brain will often do. And usually it's the negative stuff. But I didn't make a scene. I didn't talk to our grandson's teacher who has helped us out in the past about similar things, not about my grandson, but, you know, just whatever. I just felt, oh, this is not right. But as time went on, the day went on, the next day, I thought, well, I don't know, maybe she's just afraid of something. Maybe there's some stigmas out there. Maybe she's had a bad day. I don't know. So I wasn't thinking as negatively as possible, but still there's that part of me that's saying, here's a principal who doesn't get it, and I wonder if there are kids in that school with ADHD who aren't getting the right help, or maybe their teacher is helping them, but the principal isn't really there to back things up. I don't, you know, you're thinking all these things. And to be fair to her, to be fair to the principal, I don't know what she meant by that, and I should have asked. But there was an instance there that I wasn't used to, and really, I got thinking, you know, we've got to change this. I wanted to get on the soapbox, you know. It's time. This is a rally. This is a rallying point. And maybe it is, or maybe it isn't. I don't know. But it was upsetting. And, you know, I didn't make a federal issue of it. I did come home, talk to my wife about it, made a little bit of a federal issue to her, perhaps, in which she said what I should have said, you know. Did you ask what she meant about didn't want to get the school involved? And yeah, I'll beat myself up about that. In any case, that's what I faced, and yeah, we'll find a voice, and you know, we'll get on with life. But it was just one of those things where it could have been perceived as a person who's throwing yet another roadblock, a person who doesn't get it, a person that should get it, is in a position that they should be able to get it, that they should be able to understand ADHD. But my practical mind, as the time went on, as I just mentioned, that, you know, I started thinking, okay, I kind of get it, I guess, as far as where she's coming from. But then again, you know, why didn't she use that opportunity to say that, yes, you know, I understand about ADHD, and yes, you know, we take this stance to help our kids and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, she could have really told me how she addresses ADHD and all that stuff, but didn't use that opportunity. And then again, you know, here I am, unannounced. I don't know. But that just kind of threw me a bit. And it's still, yeah, it's a little aching situation in my heart, thinking that, boy, this isn't fair. Life isn't fair, I know. And for we ADHDers, life isn't fair with capital letters, right? It's up to us to help change things and just use this as one of those incidents to keep us going. And if you're faced with situations with a child at school, and, you know, this is small potatoes on the grand scheme of things for me. But there are some parents, grandparents out there with kids with ADHD who are really struggling when it comes to the school understanding the kid, right? They'd just rather dismiss them. And I've heard stories about it, about, you know, teachers not willing to understand it. Principals saying, well, maybe you should look for another school. Yeah, that is frustrating. But yes, frustration is part of it, right? We do face it every now and again. Boy, do we ever. But that's my little incident that happened. And I don't know, take from it as you see fit. That's what's going on. As far as anything else, you know, it's cold. Did I say it's cold out there? Oh, we had an incident where we had some snowfall. I don't know, about a foot of snow. And yeah, I live in Canada, living just outside of Toronto. And yeah, Canada is associated with cold and snow. But in southern Ontario, it's not igloo type stuff. Really, it isn't the case anywhere in Canada, despite popular belief. And that's another assumption that some people think, right? Not accurate. It's like the ADHD thing. You know, oh, Canada, igloos and all that. No, we don't. We don't live in igloos. Sorry. Matter of fact, where I'm living, I'm further south than some U.S. states. If you want to get specific, a city that's a few hours' drive from where I am, Windsor, Ontario, is actually south of its sister American city, Detroit. Go figure. Boy, am I ever going off the rails here. In any case, that's what's going on. I hope things are doing well in your neck of the woods. I hope you're dealing with people who understand ADHD. I'll give them a round of applause. We need more of those people. And as I also mentioned, we have a good show lined up for you today. That said, it's now time to unveil our interview portion of the program. Up next, we talk to Chris from Edmonton, Alberta. And Chris tells us about his life thus far with ADHD. He also tells us about his concerns when it comes to his desire of starting his own business. Now, his concerns revolve around his ADHD. We started off the chat with Chris telling us about his diagnosis.
Well, I was diagnosed when I was a young kid. I remember in early school years, elementary and preschool, going to a hospital and getting a lot of tests and meeting a lot of different teachers, and also being taken out of my regular class and put into like a, you know, special ed class, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was from a very young age that I've known I had something, but as a kid I didn't know what it was. They would just, again, put me in the special ed class and here you go.
How did that make you feel, being in a special ed class? Not to say there's anything wrong with it.
There's nothing absolutely wrong with it, but because I was taken away from the peer group that I had in that class,
mm-hmm.
put in with kids that were typically younger than me, and I also repeated kindergarten as well. You know, this is going way back in the day. it hit my self-confidence big time. And, you know, and I was constantly questioning myself, why can't I learn and remember things as fast as other kids? Why am I having trouble with math, with reading, with everything, right? It played a big part on my self-confidence, and it plays a big mind game with me as an adult, but also, you know, played even a bigger mind game as a kid, because as a kid, you don't know how to process anything like that.
You're 41, right?
Yes, going on 41.
Now, as a kid, and you're in this special ed class, did the teachers, did they know about ADHD? Did they treat your ADHD, or they just labeled you as a problem kid and just let you go? How did that work?
Well, like with the school system back then, I think it's a lot different than it is now. I got handed a file folder last night from my dad of the whole testing, and I could say the life journey that I was on in regards to this. And they were aware there was something there, but at the start they didn't know what it was. So they were putting me through a whole bunch of evaluation and bombardment of tests, and I don't think they knew what it was. They knew there was an attention thing there, but they didn't put any label on it until, I would say, probably from what I was reading in that grade 2 or 3 zone, I didn't get the actual label of ADHD with the diagnosis.
How did that make you feel? You said that you didn't know why. Was it frustrating, the fact that perhaps you weren't getting help? I guess, by the sounds of things, who wouldn't be frustrated?
I was incredibly frustrated with... you can say it was a little bit of everything, right? Like that as a kid, I didn't know how to handle it. I didn't know how to process it. You know, and other kids especially are really mean too, because other kids would see me, you know, disappear at 12 noon for the rest of the day. And then they'd see me maybe for that last 30 minutes a day. And that was every day that I was doing that I was getting taken away from them into this group. So they started, you know, little kids start picking on you for stuff like that. And then in the school system, in reading what I've read so far, they knew there something was there, but I don't think they were quite equipped to be able to teach it or teach for it, right? Especially if, you know, teacher-student ratios. And not only that, but also maybe the teaching methodology at the time was not as advanced as it is now when it comes to kids with developmental and learning disabilities.
So how old were you when you got that label of having ADHD?
I think in reading the notes, I think the first whisper of it was of attention deficit, right? Was I think in that anywhere from grade 2 to grade 3 realm, I think.
When did you realize that you have ADHD, that it finally sunk in?
I don't think I actually heard the term ADD or ADHD thing when I think about it until I was a teenager.
Uh-huh.
So, like, I've always been aware of it, but...
You knew something was off. You didn't know exactly what it was called, probably, until someone said, you have ADHD, right?
Yeah, exactly. And then in grade 6, I got taken out of my elementary school and put into a school for learning disabilities. And that's actually when I started succeeding at school. And I do remember that, actually, where I started passing tests and I started, you know, achieving everything that a kid that age should achieve, passing tests and coming out with really good marks and grasping the concepts of everything that they were being taught, right? And then no one told me why I was going there, and I was asking a lot of questions about it. And and my parents, being parents who sugarcoat it, the school wouldn't really tell me anything. They told my parents a lot, but everyone kind of sugarcoat and not really discuss, like, and explain in detail what I had, to make me understand it for, you know, my age group.
Did you make it to high school?
I did. I graduated high school and I have done a little post-secondary. But high school, again, was one heck of a journey, because in grade 9, I I had to go back into the regular school system because the private school is incredibly expensive,
Right.
and my parents lost the funding from the Catholic school board to put me in that private school. So I had to go back into the regular mix, and at that stage, you could say I was thrown to the wolves.
How did you survive? I mean, here you are, you were doing well in a certain circumstance, and then all of a sudden you're tossed back into the mainstream. I mean, you must have felt like a fish out of water.
Oh, yeah. Well, absolutely. I was a fish out of water. And, like, the one benefit was I was back with a whole bunch of kids that I knew as a little kid who I grew up with and that I spent my weekends with. So I was back with my regular peer group, whereas in the private school, I think at the time the student body was 45 students, ranging from like grade 2 all the way to grade 12. So there really wasn't much of a peer group there. I had a select group of friends because we just happened to be in a 4-person class that was all the same age, which is rare in that school. But and then like when I was thrown back into the mix, you could kind of say, at that stage I was shutting down. I was shutting down slightly before that, and I realize now as an adult looking back, I was shutting down due to depression, due to anxiety, you know, due to the whole bag of a kid living with something that he didn't understand, right?
How did you make it through? Did you have teachers who understood the problem?
I had a few really good teachers through high school that understood, that were willing to spend the time. And then for every good teacher, I had, you know, equal number of bad teachers that were over, and I wouldn't say they were bad, they were just probably overloaded and overworked with what I needed combined with, you know, every other student in the system. But I, you know, I survived because I joined a youth organization called the Sea Cadets in Canada here, right? And I would actually credit them with, you could say, throwing me a life bone, because again, I went from one school system where I had a lot of stability to one where I was thrown into the mix, and I didn't understand, you know, how things were done is the best way I could put it. And even though I had a small circle of friends there, I did start falling in with a bad crowd.
Well, it sounds like the cadets offered you a form of structure.
Well, and that's just it. And with the cadets, it offered me structure. It offered me a way to, like, ways to organize myself. Yeah, and like looking at the path that I could have gone, because again, I was falling into that, you know, into that classic situation where, you know, the kid is falling through the cracks, and well, he's going to end up in jail. That was potentially the road that I think I was heading on, hanging out with this one group of kids.
Right.
Is that I think they were very much in the same boat that I was. They were left out to dry by the system, just being the big cookie machine that the education system tends to be. And then with cadets, I found the exact opposite. So I branched away from, you know, those negative influences and went towards some incredibly positive influences, which has continued to influence me and my decision making on how I handle myself on a day-to-day basis. It's influenced my you can say my ethics in a big way,
right?
Well, and that's not only cadets, but also my ADHD, my ADD, or ADD has also really influenced how I perceive things and how I interpret things as well, right? Because I've needed so much help and support through my life with various subjects and various things. As some people, it just comes second nature to. And without people, you know, helping me along the way, I would not have made it as far as I did.
Sure.
And have, I don't think.
Well, for those of you who are listening who don't understand, what's this cadets all about? Basically, it's like the Boy Scouts, but it revolves around the Navy here in Canada.
Yeah.
And, Chris, I want to tell you that I'm a former Sea Cadet myself.
Nice.
However, however, I had one problem. I get this thing called being seasick. Didn't go well.
I saw a lot of that. But, like, with the cadet system, if anyone out there is listening and they're you know, they have that youth between the ages of 12 to 18 who is struggling, definitely check out the cadets. With that system alone, by the age of 18, I already lived more than most 18-year-olds have. I was going away every summer to summer camp. Every weekend, primarily, we were out doing something with either as a unit, as a corps, or as with my cadet friends.
What made you stop there? I mean, you would think naturally if you're doing so well in that, maybe you'd explore a career in the armed forces. Have you thought about that, or did you think about that?
I did join the Army.
Oh, okay.
I did join the Army Reserves, and I was, my plan with the Army Reserves was go in, do some training, and then go regular force, right? Sure. But as I went through the training, and I made the number one mistake I made with it was I joined it while I was still in cadets and still in high school. I did it as part of my work experience, actually. The Army Reserves, most kids go flip burgers and, you know, wait tables for work experience. I got to go shoot machine guns and throw grenades.
Okay, yeah, that sounds a little more interesting.
Yeah, so, like, I did that, but, like, I made the mistake. I think I joined a little too early because I was still very much, you could see, in cadet mode versus reserve mode. And by the time I was leaving cadet, so I was a little tired of the system, a little tired of I just needed a break, right, because right. I was so involved in it. I went into the Army Reserves, and I had difficulty in there with my organization again. Uh-huh. I was getting consistently, you could say, crapped on for it. And, you know, that's typical Army and military that you can think of, right? It's stereotypical, actually.
Yeah, but if you've got ADHD and you're being crapped on, you're going to really amplify it, and it's not going to help you.
Well, yeah, and you know, and I had some successes there, and I had some failures. I didn't stay in too long because, you know, as you're going through training, the great thing about training and the reserves is if you decide that it's not for you, you can quit.
Right.
With the reserves, regular force, you can't. And there was a couple things that made me really question if I wanted to be there and go to war. And you know, I was like 18 or 19 by this stage, and I decided that no, I'm not. I don't want to go to war, right?
So where does that leave you? You left an atmosphere that you understood, and all of a sudden you're back out in the mainstream again. So yeah. How did that make you feel?
Confused, conflicted. Yeah. I was bouncing around, not knowing really what I wanted to do.
I've got to ask you something. How many times did you get fired?
Oh, God. I was actually doing really good until I think I was, 21. I was getting fired, like, left, right, and center from everything I was doing. And every single time they would say, it's not your work ethic. Yeah. You know, you're one of the hardest workers we have. But this is when I was doing my apprenticeship as a plumber, for example. But you're not where an apprentice of a first-year apprentice going into the second year should be for skill-wise. And then, like, another place, I worked at a mill outside of Edmonton here. And looking back, maybe I should have challenged them on this, but they pulled me into the office. They sat me down and, you know, and just gave me a lecture. And then they asked me, like, are you ADD, ADHD? In this stage, I heard the term, and I said yes. And they sat there, and they went, okay, well, we're going to have to let you go. We don't have any position for you anymore.
Okay.
So, but again, there's that discrimination right there.
Now, as time moved along, you got married, but that didn't work out.
What happened there was, again, I'm bouncing around, and the career choice after this, I actually was still, at this point, back involved with the cadet system as a cadet instructor. And that was providing me, again, a little bit of focus, a little bit of, you could say, mentoring, right? So, I was bouncing around, and a couple of them said, like, Chris, why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? And all of them rung around the same the same theory as outdoor recreation, right?
So I'm guessing that's when you started to play around with the idea of becoming a ski instructor. How did that all go for you?
That was the best career I've ever had. I started here in Edmonton, did a number of seasons full-time out of just a local hill, making like minimum wage, barely able to afford gas to the hill. And then from there, this is where I went and took a certificate program through College of New Caledonia, the Vailmont campus, for outdoor recreation. And while I was living in Vailmont, BC, I was trying to choose where I wanted to go next. And Whistler came to mind. So I ended up moving to Whistler for, I think I was there a total of 8 years. I taught, you know, and in the time of teaching out there, I had a lot of positive influences, a lot of mentorship, a lot of really awesome role models to go by in not only the ski world, but also the downhill mountain bike world.
And yet you were still bouncing around with other jobs until you hit upon cleaning windows.
Yeah, like I started washing windows in Whistler with, like, if you could picture mansions in Whistler, what your imagination goes with what billionaires build is probably pretty accurate.
Right.
Like some pretty crazy houses are out there. So I needed to come back home. And when I came back, one of my number one supports was...
Okay.
Excuse me. My mom had terminal cancer. Anyway, so they needed me more than what I needed them. But I came back with, after leaving everything that I had in Whistler, my stable job at ski school and teaching mountain biking and window washing. So three stable careers that were all jiving together, right? And then I came back to Alberta to, well, great. Now I don't have a job. I don't have a place to live other than my parents' basement. And
yeah, but you came back. You came back with a purpose to help your mother, and that's very admirable. And you left things behind. And yeah, sometimes we have to do that. But it's tough when you find something that you love, especially when you have ADHD and you're forced to go another route. But you did it, and you put somebody else ahead of you. So that's. I'm going to give you a round of applause for that. That's a good job.
Yeah, thank you. I'm like when I came back, I didn't realize because again, parents sugarcoat stuff. I didn't realize my mom's cancer was as bad as what it was. And so I came back. You know, you could say thrown back into the wolves again a little bit because of the whole. When I left, I came back. I'm obviously a much different person. Different perceptions, different, I wouldn't say different personality, but different personality in many different ways. And thrown back into a different society than in Alberta than what it is back what I was used to, right?
So let me guess this, though. I'm just sensing it. I don't know. It's my awareness of ADHD. You came back. And you might have had a little problem with authority. And if that's the case, it's not unusual for us ADHDers.
Well, this is where people can misinterpret some things because earlier mentioned attention to detail and we don't have it, right?
Right.
In my case, I do have it. But I don't know how to interpret it, if that makes sense. I'll notice things that no one else notices. So, I could be a foreman or something could be showing me, or, you know, that person training me in something could be showing me, a process or a process or a method, right? And I will be totally in there. Listening to them, but then I'll notice something and I'll ask them a question, which would be considered a technical question. And people misinterpret that as to me being an excuse the word ass.
Yeah.
testing their knowledge, and I'm absolutely not. It's because I'm legitimately seeing this thing, and whatever it could be, whether it's a process or a step in the procedures, right? And
well, Chris, it's called being misunderstood, and that's what we are. We are misunderstood.
Yeah.
That said, let's get to the part where you want to create your own job. Now, I know you want to start your own window washing business, but you have some concerns revolving around your ADHD that might be weighing you down. Is that the case?
Well, the biggest concern, number one, is my organization. I know if I can't find a good method to organize myself with scheduling, and with keeping track of bills and just day-to-day life with mixing in with everything, I know it's going to be my one Achilles heel in regards to this. And again, I understand the whole how to work it, and I've done enough, so much interaction with clients on the ski world and throughout the ski world and throughout the window washing world. I'm very comfortable dealing with clients.
Sure.
But again, it's that behind the scenes organization. And I realize that when I get this thing up and going and I'm actually making money and I need to hire someone, that's probably going to be my first hire, is, a brain's behind the scenes. It's not going to be someone else out in the field with me, right?
Well, that's what we always face. I mean, as far as doing the details can be challenging. We're ideas people. We go out and we can get things done. But when it comes to, like, say, doing our taxes or anything, it can be a challenge. Have you thought about any software or whatever just to get you over that hump until you find somebody?
Well, and that's, I'm falling back on good old, the good old QuickBooks thing. There's so many out there. In my research and asking people, everyone is using something different. Some people go for free, some people go for paid, and some people overpay. And, I'm just trying to, I think I found a way through, QuickBooks and Google Docs and Google Sheet, to make it as wirelessly and paperless as possible. Because another big issue I have is I have a movement disorder called essential tremor on top of this. So not only is organization a challenge, but fine motor skills like handwriting and printing is, you could say, my nightmare scenario when I have to do a lot of that. It takes me a lot of time to be able to even just write one paragraph. The average person beats me by minutes.
Remember, the software is only as good as what you want it to be, and you have to input everything and do all that stuff. And it kind of sounds like you might need an ADHD coach. And if such is the case, cadat.ca, cadac.ca might be able to help you. But that's what I would recommend.
Yeah, and that's one thing that I've always been an open to, right? But right now it's coming down to money, budget. And anytime I've explored any of those services, they charge just what's beyond my budget. These just like everyone, with ADD, ADHD, I'm sure employment has gone up and gone down. When I have time, I don't have money. When I have money, I don't have time. Or
Well, Chris,
and especially trying to get this thing off the ground, it's just like I'm doing it on the bare bones budget because I don't want to take financing out for it.
Chris, but here's what you got to do. You've got to find somebody, a coach that has a lot of windows and the windows get dirty. Maybe you can exchange your window cleaning services for a little bit of their services.
Oh, I definitely would be. I would definitely be into doing that.
Well, I'll tell you, we reach a lot of people, and some in Edmonton. How does one get a hold of you? What's your email address?
It's hartleyc3po@gmail.com.
hartleyc3po. Okay, anybody listening out there who could help Chris and has dirty windows and would like to do a little swap of services, just give Chris, drop him an email, and you never know. But again, with those software, and I can speak from experience, Chris, I'm a little older than you are, and I've been at this for a while, but you know, you've got to condition yourselves to input that information no matter what software you have, because it's so easy to say, well, I'll do this tomorrow or the day after tomorrow, and tomorrow never comes.
Exactly. And that's why I'm trying to make it as, you know, as easy and brain farty for me as possible to enter it, because, as you know, ADD, ADHD, we're the masters of procrastination.
Sure.
And that's the one thing that I can say I'm above average in is procrastination. And that's where actually this whole adventure is really, you could say, retraining me on not to procrastinate, because like there's just so much to it. Like every time I remove one or two items from my to-do list, it seems like another 10 go up in its place.
Well, Chris, I'm sure you're not alone when people are listening and saying, yeah, I want to start a business too, and I'm worried about the same things you are. I mean, we're all in that boat, and maybe if we can help each other out, whether it be exchange of services or maybe to find a support group, you know, that's what we really have to be pushing for, because the awareness of you know, of the people who are out there who are providing jobs, just, it's not there. So sometimes we have to create our own job. Yeah.
Well, and that's just it. And that was one of my primary inspirations for wanting to start this.
And that's a good thing, Chris. But if I can offer you some advice, I would say don't let the thought of you having your ADHD hold you back.
Yeah. And, that's just it. And, like my last window washing employer was just absolutely fantastic, and he continues to be. Like, he's mentoring me along the way, and any questions or concerns that I have, he always answers them. I'll be subcontracting for him too this coming spring, hopefully.
That's good. Yeah.
And you know, and it's going to give me the flexibility to do this, right?
Well, that's what I was thinking. Subcontracting might be right up your alley until you get established, because they do a lot of the heavy lifting when it comes to setting up the jobs and all that stuff.
Well, and that's just it. And he's also, and I mentioned like the, you know, the personality conflicts of people who can and can't teach and coach and train. A mentor, he's one of the ones that definitely can, and I've got a lot of respect for him and how he does his business.
Well, Chris, as we wrap things up, it sounds like subcontracting might be your solution to get you going, and I wish you all the best, and I'm sure that you'll do okay. And just to put you in a frame of mind here, Chris, I'm gonna tell you to shape up there, soldier. Just attitude. Hup. Well, at ease. No, not that kind of at ease there, Chris. You take it easy and make sure that you wear your life jacket. Sorry. But I know you'll do all right. You'll make out okay.
I knocked front teeth out as a sea cadet. Yeah.
What's that smile? Stop smiling at me there, cadet. Chris, now you've got to brush your teeth there. What? You don't have any teeth? Okay, well, just forget what I said. Brush your gums.
It was like that for one weekend, for sure.
Well, Chris, you continue on there. I want to give you another round of applause for, you know, gumption and getting out there and wanting to start things and make things happen. And I'm sure things will happen. And let us know how things are working out. And again, if you want to get a hold of Chris to help him out, perhaps, or you are in the Edmonton area and if you've got some dirty windows. Yeah, nothing worse than looking out a dirty window. You get a hold of Chris. And Chris, what's your email address again? Here, I'm giving you a shameless plug here. What's the email?
Well, my personal email is HartleyC3PO@gmail.com.
HartleyC3PO, just like Star Wars, @gmail.com.
Yeah, and then my company is Neon Window Cleaning, if anyone can reach out. And
Neon Window Cleaning, Chris?
Yeah,
I can see you there with a squeegee in your hand, at attention, and raring to go.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for talking to us, Chris. That was Chris Hartley from Edmonton, Alberta, and we'd like to thank Chris for sharing his story, his life thus far with ADHD, and we wish him all the best with his future endeavor. Well, don't forget to visit The other aspects of Club ADHD, we've got the Facebook page and the Twitter account, and oh yeah, this here podcast, as we wrap up this edition of Club ADHD, the podcast. I want to remind you that the Center for ADHD Awareness Canada, otherwise known as CADAC, helps bring you this podcast every couple of weeks or so. And I've got to admit, yes, I've fallen behind. So I'm going to try to crack off another one this week, hopefully. And if you'd like to find out more about ADHD or learn more on how you can be an advocate, visit CADAC's website. It can be found at cadac.ca. And with that, and I'm waving goodbye right here. I'm waving. This is your cordial, an ADHD host, Russ LeBlanc, thanking you for joining us. And please spread the word about the podcast, about Club ADHD. The more, the merrier. And just before I go, I have to remind you, wherever possible, to be sure to spread the word. What's the word? What are the words, I should say? Well, it goes like this. ADHD is real. Bye for now.